Thanks for joining us on the Big Sports Breakfast. Chris, how are you today?
All good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, how hard was it to keep a lid on it when you heard that Japan were pulling out of the hosting rights for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup?
We weren't disappointed, but Japan are great international citizens in football, so obviously having one bit out of the Asian Confederation makes our job a bit easier.
Chris, can I ask, I guess Friday's results aside, what's the significance of just the bid itself?
I think it's galvanised the football community in the country. Our bid document has 8 Australian venues in it across all the states, basically. And I think it's given the football faithful, the 2 million plus participants, something to look forward to and to work together with.
Chris, can you take us through Friday? Do you all gather together? Do you find out before the vote? Or would you, like everyone else, you just see it
we'll
unfold?
Be watching a screen, socially distancing, of course. So some of us will be in head office in Sydney.
Yep.
It's 2 a.m. roughly, we think, our time. The meeting starts about 11 p.m. We're the last item on the agenda. Because we can't be there in person, we've pre-prepared a sort of 10-minute video. Both bidding nations can do that. And then it goes to a vote. It will be declared, and then we will know who voted for who.
And Chris, cynics will point to the failure of the 2022 men's bid when it was handed to Qatar and left what was a scarring experience for Australian football fans at the time. Why can we be confident in the FIFA process this time around?
I think they're two different eras. In this era, what they've done is it's been a very transparent and comprehensive bidding process. So any one of your listeners can get onto the FIFA website and have a look at our bid book, or that of Colombia's, or anybody else's for that matter. Plus the fact that it's a transparent vote, you're not guessing who supported you. So I think it is a distinguishing feature of the two eras.
Chris, is this exactly what football needs in this country, the shot in the arm that we've been looking for?
I think so, Michael. Yeah, it's like all codes, you want to bring everyone along, and a World Cup is probably the pinnacle for athletes, and to have one on home soil would be wonderful for the Matildas and the Australian community. So having 32 countries, it's the first time it's gone to 32 countries, but at a different level again. And it'll be something the whole of Australia and New Zealand can join into.
You must be happy with the Matildas, Chris. I mean, the support that they receive here in Australia and the connection that they've got to the Australian public, they really are a great group. And you've got plenty of young women and young boys playing the game because of their success.
I think that's right. I think people look to them. I mean, I think in any sport, again, people need role models, and I think the Matildas do that really well, both on the park, and they're very generous with their time off the park to improve women's football generally.
What are the tangible benefits, Chris, the measurable things that will be there for us should we win these hosting rights?
Yeah, look, the infrastructure is there, basically, so that's good. A central part of what we're pushing here is actually legacy for the Asia-Pacific area. So we've got some initiatives around promoting gender equality long-term for both Australia, New Zealand and our Asian colleagues. And I think that's going to resonate with people as we move towards a more equal sort of society.
It's a joint bid with New Zealand and Australia, obviously, Chris, but hopefully we host the final, don't we?
That's in the bid document.
So
opening game at Eden Park, if we're fortunate to win it, and final certainly be in Australia and Sydney.
Ah, beautiful. And just lastly, Chris, just why will the winter coming of the A-League, I guess, be more successful than its current predominantly summer season when we get this sort of drift towards the competition happening more in the winter months?
Yeah, I think one of the things we need to try to do is connect the huge grassroots in football, and having that play at a different time to the national men's competition and the women's national competition doesn't really align it. So this is a chance to see whether we can connect with the pyramid problem.
Well, Chris, been great to talk to you. We're fingers crossed that it just all goes well Friday morning, and we have Colombia covered, and we're hosting or co-hosting the Women's World Cup in 2023.
Thanks for your time and your wishes.